everyone, and welcome back to another episode here on Talking with Cannabis. Today we will be doing another Twisted Truths. So for today's episode of Twisted Truths, we will be looking at the Disney version of Sleeping Beauty. We're just going to look over the plot, and then we're going to read the original rights of Sleeping Beauty, which there's two different versions I want to look over today. One is by Brothers Grimm, and the other one is by the original author that I cannot think of right now. But I'll be able to pull up the information for you guys, so don't you worry. But that's what we'll be doing today, and I hope you guys enjoy. And hopefully, if this episode becomes as popular as the Alice Through the Looking Glass one, I will have just enough money to do something super fun on my family vacation coming up. Not that that's of any importance. I just like making these for you guys. But, you know, I really do hope that this one is just as popular as the other ones, because that shows me that you guys like it and I can continue to make them. And it also helps with my podcast being successful. So it's kind of a win-win. So yeah, without further ado, let's go ahead and get into this. It's pretty early in the morning here, so I haven't had coffee yet or anything. Right now I'm just starting with water, but water is important. So let's see. Okay. So the Disney plot of Sleeping Beauty is this. Filled with jealousy, the evil witch Maleficent curses Princess Aurora to die on her 16th birthday. Thanks to Aurora's guardian fairies, she only falls into a deep sleep that can be ended with a kiss from her betrothed, Prince Philip. To prevent Philip from rescuing Aurora, Maleficent kidnaps and imprisons him. The good fairies are the last hope to free Philip so that he can awaken Aurora. That is the Disney plot for Sleeping Beauty. And now if we go over here, sorry if you hear my stomach, it is growling a little bit. I am a little hungry, but that's okay. I have no problem. Okay, so we have Perrault's narrative of Sleeping Beauty. So right here, it's a folk tale. Sleeping Beauty, also known as Little Briar Rose. And it has different adaptions and stories. Lots of people have rewritten it to kind of their own. So here we have Charles Perrault, and then later on, there was a version of the story collected and printed by the Brothers Grimm, and they're supposed to be similar, but those are the two that we'll be looking over today. We're going to be looking at Charles Perrault, their version of Sleeping Beauty, and the Brothers Grimm. So I hope you guys enjoy while we get this started. So we're going to start with Perrault's narrative of Sleeping Beauty. Perrault's narrative is written in two parts, which some folklorists believe were originally separate tales, as they were in the Brothers Grimm version, and were later joined together by Basile and once more by Perrault. According to folklore editors, Perrault's tale is a much more subtle and pared-down version than Basile's story in terms of the more immoral details. An example of this is depicted in Perrault's tale by the prince's choice to instigate no physical interaction with the sleeping princess when the prince discovers her. At the christening of a king and queen's long-wished-for child, 7 good fairies are invited to be godmothers to the infant princess. The fairies attend the banquet at the palace. Each fairy is presented with a golden plate and drinking cups adorned with jewels. Soon after, an old fairy enters the palace and is seated with a plate of fine china and a crystal drinking glass. This old fairy is overlooked because she has been within a tower for many years, and everyone had believed her to be deceased. 6 of the other 7 fairies then offer their gifts of beauty, wit, grace, dance, song, and goodness to the infant princess. And you know what's funny is that the Disney version of this, there's only 3 fairies, not 7. And the gifts were beauty. It was like beauty and song. And then Meriwether had to come in and kind of fix the curse. So, a little different here. Let's see. The evil fairy is very angry about having been forgotten, and as her gift, curses the infant princess so that she will one day prick her finger on a spindle of a spinning wheel and die. The 7th fairy, who has not yet given her gift, attempts to reverse the evil fairy's curse. Okay, so that's kind of like the Disney one. However, she can only do so partially. Instead of dying, the princess will fall into a deep sleep for 100 years and be awakened by a king's son. This is her gift of protection. Okay. So, that's kind of the beginning situation of Perrault's narrative of Sleeping Beauty. And yes, there is more. Let's keep going. The king orders that every spindle and spinning wheel in the kingdom be destroyed to try to save his daughter from the terrible curse. 15 or 16 years pass, and one day, when the king and queen are away, the princess wanders through the palace rooms and comes upon an old woman spinning with her spindle. The princess, who has never seen anyone spin before, asks the old woman if she can try the spinning wheel. The curse is fulfilled as the princess pricks her finger on the spindle and instantly falls into a deep sleep. The old woman cries for help, and attempts are made to revive the princess. The king attributes this to fate and has the princess carried to the finest room in the palace and placed upon a bed of gold and silver embroidered fabric. The king and queen kiss their daughter goodbye and depart, proclaiming the entrance to be forbidden. The good fairy who altered the evil prophecy is summoned. Having great powers of foresight, the fairy sees that the princess will awaken to distress when she finds herself alone. So, the fairy puts everyone in the castle to sleep. The fairy also summons a forest of trees, brambles, and thorns that spring up around the castle, shielding it from the outside world and preventing anyone from disturbing the princess. And in the Disney version, Maleficent is the one that puts up all these vines and thorns, not the fairy. So that's kind of interesting. Let's see. 100 years pass, and a prince from another family spies the hidden castle during a hunting expedition. His attendants tell him differing stories regarding the castle until an old man recounts his father's words. Within the castle lies a beautiful princess who is doomed to sleep for 100 years until a king's son comes and awakens her. The prince then braves the tall trees, brambles, and thorns, which part at his approach, and enters the castle. He passes the sleeping castle folk and comes across the chamber where the princess lies asleep on the bed. Struck by the radiant beauty before him, he falls on his knees before her. The enchantment comes to an end. The princess awakens and bestows upon the prince a look more tender than a first glance might seem to warrant. Then converses with the prince for a long time. Meanwhile, the rest of the castle awakens and go about their business. The prince and princess are later married by the chaplain in the castle chapel. After the wedding, the princess in secret, the prince continues to visit her, and she bears him two children, Aurore and Jor, so dawn and day. Unbeknownst to his mother, who is of an ogre lineage, when the time comes for the prince to ascend the throne, he brings his wife, children, and the Talibut. The ogre's queen mother sends the young queen and the children to a house secluded in the woods and directs her cook to prepare the boy with Sauce Robert for dinner. The kind-hearted cook substitutes a lamb for the boy, which satisfies the queen mother. She then demands the girl, but the cook this time substitutes a kid, which also satisfies the queen mother. When the ogress demands that he serve up the young queen, the latter offers to slit her throat so that she may join the children that she imagines are dead, while the queen mother is satisfied with a hind prepared with Sauce Robert. In place of the young queen, there is a tearful secret union of the queen and her children. However, the queen mother soon discovers the cook's trick, and she prepares a tub in the courtyard filled with vipers and other noxious creatures. The king returns in the nick of time, and the ogress, her true nature having been exposed, throws herself into the tub and is fully consumed. The king, young queen, and children then live happily ever after. And that is the end of Perrault's version of Sleeping Beauty. Now, mind you, that was very, very creepy. And a little uncomfortable. Let me know what you guys think of that version of Brothers Grimm. I mean, not Brothers Grimm, of Sleeping Beauty by Charles Perrault. We're going to take a quick smoke break and commercial break. And when we come back, we will look over the Brothers Grimm version of Sleeping Beauty, which I know a little more about. So, hopefully it's not too surprising. But the ogress thing in the Perrault version definitely caught me off guard. So let me know what you guys think. I'm so glad that the children didn't get eaten and everyone was, you know, lived happily ever after. But for a while there, I was kind of concerned. But anyways, I will be back shortly. Okay, and now that we are back, we are going to be looking at the Brothers Grimm version of Sleeping Beauty or Little Briar Rose. Okay. It says here, the Brothers Grimm included a variant of Sleeping Beauty, Little Briar Rose, in their collection. Their version ends when the prince arrives to wake Sleeping Beauty and does not include the part 2 as found in Basile's and Perrault's versions. The brothers considered rejecting the story on the grounds that it was derived from Perrault's version, but the presence of the Brynhild tale convinced them to include it as an authentically German tale. Their decision was notable because in none of the Teutonic myths, meaning the poetic and Prose Edda or Volsunga Saga, are their sleepers awakened with a kiss, a fact Jacob Grimm would have known since he wrote an encyclopedic volume on German mythology. And if you hear any snoring in the background, it is my dog
I apologize for that. It says here, his version is the only known German variant of the tale, and Perrault's influence is almost certain. In the original Brothers Grimm version, the fairies are instead wise women. And that is probably where Disney got that idea. The three fairies. Anyways, the Brothers Grimm also included in the first edition of their tales a fragmentary fairy tale, The Evil Mother-in-Law. This story begins with the heroine, a married mother of two children, and her mother-in-law who attempts to eat her and the children. The heroine suggests an animal be substituted in the dish, and the story ends with the heroine's worry that she cannot keep her children from crying and getting the mother-in-law's attention. Like many German tales showing French influence, it appeared in no subsequent edition. So, that is pretty much how that version of the story goes. It's pretty much very similar to the Disney version of Sleeping Beauty. There's like this jealous witch and a curse with the spinning wheel and you know, stuff like that. So that is quite interesting. Let's see if I can find the Brothers Grimm actual story. I think I did find it, although it says here, Little Briar Rose. I believe this is probably just a small, like, chapter or something. So, maybe I won't go over it. It's really hard to find some of these fairy tales because they are so old. But, I mean, nonetheless, it is interesting to look at. But pretty much what I can entail for you is that it's very similar to the Disney version of it. So, if you preferred that version, you probably prefer Brothers Grimm. If you preferred the Perrault version, well, then you preferred the Perrault version, which is more French. So, there's like a German one and a French one. Let me know what you guys thought, and I hopefully did not bore you guys too much. Unfortunately, there was not a lot of information on the second version of the story online, so I do apologize for not having as much information as I would like, as in like the previous episodes, but I was happy to make this episode for you guys. So I hope you enjoyed and have a wonderful rest of your day. Bye now.